everyone. My name is Ethan Uslin. I'm not a piano, but I play one on this podcast. Can you believe it took me 50 episodes to think of that joke? Well, good things come to those who wait, or to those who just start at episode number 50 and work their way backwards. Anyway, as I said, I'm Ethan Uslin, and this is a Carolina Shout podcast where I play the piano here in my home in Charlotte, North Carolina. Everything I play is pretty gosh darn old-timey. For instance, what you just heard, that was a rag from 1910 called the Gunpowder Rag. It was composed by Roy Spangler. Not that much is known about Roy Spangler, but I was able to find out a little bit of information about him on ProfessorBill.com, which is my go-to for ragtime composer biographical information. Turns out that Roy Spangler was from the Philadelphia area, and he had some kind of piano comedy vaudeville act. He only published a couple songs and one rag, which was the Gunpowder Rag that I just played. And in 1910, the year the Gunpowder Rag was published, Spangler was listed as a full-time employee at the Philadelphia Almshouse and Hospital. It seems he was a full-time hospital piano player, which I suppose was a nice gig, and he was probably very much appreciated. I'm sure my wife would have loved to have given birth accompanied by some ragtime music, had I offered. Sorry, Kate, next time. Anyway, back to Roy Spangler. Mr. Spangler's most lasting contribution is not as a hospital piano player, but as a recording artist. He made some recordings in 1916 that are among the earliest recorded examples of ragtime piano playing. So if you want an idea of what ragtime sounded like during the ragtime age, go online and search for Roy Spangler playing the Cannonball Rag or the Red Onion Rag. But why don't you do that later? Those recordings will still be there. You have a podcast to listen to. Okay, so today is January 1st, 2019, New Year's Day. So I'd like to play some New Year's music. Auld Lang Syne would be the obvious choice, but whenever possible, we try to think outside of the box here on the Carolina Shout. So forget Auld Lang Syne. Let old acquaintance indeed be forgot, for all I care. I'm going to play something else that is New Year's related, an old popular song from 1879 called Oh, Them Golden Slippers. What? You don't sing Oh, Them Golden Slippers on New Year's Day? Well, you must not be a mummer. Not a mummy, a mummer. You see, every year in Philadelphia, on New Year's Day, they have the Mummers Parade. People get dressed up in elaborate costumes with elaborate designed scenery and perform elaborate dances. The whole thing is very elaborate. And of course, there's live music, always to be performed by string bands. The first Mummers Parade was in 1901, and it's still going on, a proud Philadelphia tradition. And the Mummers Parade has an unofficial theme song, which is Oh Dem Golden Slippers. Oh Dem Golden Slippers was composed in 1879 by James A. Bland, who was one of the first very successful African-American popular songwriters and minstrel performers. He also wrote Carry Me Back to Old Virginny, which you might know. Anyway, Golden Slippers is kind of a pseudo-Negro spiritual about going to heaven and putting on your golden slippers, walking down the golden street. I think that's what people do in heaven, from what I've heard. There was an actual spiritual called Golden Slippers that James A. Bland was alluding to, but James A. Bland's Golden Slippers, and what I'm going to play, it's completely different musically from the Golden Slippers spiritual. Anyway, James A. Bland's Golden Slippers caught on in the 1880s and remained quite famous, so it's not very surprising that in 1909 it was introduced to the Mummers Parade, where it has been a mainstay ever since. In 1939, Fats Waller recorded a version of this song, and I'm just in love with it. The first half of his version, Fats sticks to the tune, and then the second half, he kind of goes off into Fats Waller land doing whatever he wants. It's really quite something. So here's my rendition of Fats Waller's rendition of James A. Bland's Oh, Them Golden Slippers. Thank you.
slippers, oh. Them golden slippers I'm gonna wear, because they look so neat. Oh, them golden slippers, oh. Them golden slippers I'm gonna wear to walk down the golden street. I'm talking about gold slippers, gold slippers. Fine Arabian golden slippers, cause they look so neat. Oh, fine Arabian golden slippers, ain't talking about silver slippers. Get off the silver standard, I gotta wear golden slippers down the golden street. Oh. I'm gonna wear, oh, I gotta wear them golden slippers coming on down the street. I'm talking about that fine street, that Arabian street. Get them golden slippers, walk that golden street. Golden street, golden street, golden street, that golden street. Find me my golden slippers, cause I gotta walk that golden street. Let me walk.
So that was Oh Them Golden Slippers, a song that you would hear at the Mummers Parade in Philadelphia on New Year's Day. And now that I have Philadelphia on my mind, I've been reminiscing about an eventful trip to Philly that I had a few years ago. You see, it was during the Downton Abbey craze, and I was in town to give a Downton Abbey-themed concert with soprano Melinda Whittington. The concert was at Philadelphia's WHYY Studios. WHYY is Philadelphia's public television station, and the concert was a donor event. That's right, if you give to your public television station, you might get invited to one of my concerts. Anyway, Melinda and I were flown into Philadelphia for this event, and they put us in a nice hotel right around the corner from the studios, right smack in the middle of Philadelphia's historic district. Across the street was Independence Hall, where our nation's founders signed the Declaration of Independence, and where they wrote the Constitution. I arrived several hours before the concert, so I had time to check out Independence Hall. But I did not do so, because I was ill. I had some kind of bug, and I was throwing up all over the place. I was so weak, I couldn't stand up for more than a minute without getting really woozy. Needless to say, this was a bad situation. I had maybe 3 hours before showtime, and I was an absolute mess. I took some Pepto-Bismol, but I needed something prescription strength. None of this wimpy over-the-counter stuff was doing the trick, but that's all I had access to. And I knew that the show had to go on. WHYY flew me all the way here for one concert, one night only, and they were depending on me, and Melinda was depending on me. I wasn't going to cancel. So about an hour before showtime, I started to get ready. I started to shave, but I couldn't stand up long enough, and about midway through shaving, I laid down on the bed to rest, and I got shaving cream all over the pillow. It was a low point for me. But somehow, after several failed attempts, I managed to complete shaving. Then I slowly got dressed. Putting on a tuxedo is a pain for me, even when I'm fully healthy. So needless to say, it was an ordeal. Finally, all dressed up in my white tie and tails, I went down the elevator, exited the hotel, and began my 3-block journey to WHYY Studios. I walked very, very slowly. I passed Independence Hall and summoned all my strength to avoid throwing up in the bushes. I stopped many times to catch my breath. Then I passed a peculiar building that seemed to be attracting a lot of tourists. As I got closer, I saw the sign informing me that this building was the home of the Liberty Bell. I walked closer, and there was a big window, and through the window, there it was, the Liberty Bell, just sitting there. And I had never seen the Liberty Bell before, except on a postage stamp, and was a lot more impressive in real life than on the stamp. And as I struggled just to stay standing up, I looked at the Liberty Bell, and I thought about the founding of our nation. I thought about our founding fathers. I thought about George Washington, in the freezing cold weather, valiantly crossing the Delaware. If he could cross the freezing Delaware, I could make it two more blocks. And so, inspired by the bravery of George Washington, I carried on. And then I thought of Paul Revere, who got up in the middle of the night to ride his horse around town, yelling that the British were coming. And I thought of Benjamin Franklin, who flew his kite into a thunderstorm, getting electrocuted. Ouch! And I thought of Betsy Ross, knitting Old Glory till her thumbs were raw and oozing blood. And I thought of John Hancock, who signed his name really big on the Declaration of Independence, so future generations wouldn't have to put on reading glasses. And then I began to hum the melody to the immortal Liberty Bell March by the American musical treasure John Philip Sousa. And as I hummed the Liberty Bell March, I found the courage and fortitude I sorely needed. I felt the spirit of 76 coursing through my veins. With a sudden rush of strength and vigor, I made my way into the WHYY studios. I went backstage, I splashed some water on my face, and the next thing I knew, I was at the piano in front of 200 people giving a concert with Melinda Whittington, and the concert went great. You would never have known that I had just endured my own personal battle of Bunker Hill. After the concert, when it was time to head back to the hotel, once again, I walked down the streets of historic Philadelphia, triumphantly whistling Sousa's Liberty Bell March, which goes like this. So that was the Liberty Bell March by John Philip Sousa, composed in 1893. The score calls for an actual bell to be chimed at select moments. We don't have a bell here in the Carolina Shout podcast studio, but over in the Carolina Shout podcast studio kitchen, we have a metal measuring cup and a spoon, which I think work just fine. Our percussionist was none other than Kate Uslin. Thank you, Kate. Great job. You made that measuring cup sound like the Liberty Bell before it cracked. And I'm sure many listeners recognize the Liberty Bell March as the Monty Python Flying Circus theme. Yes, it's the Monty Python Flying Circus theme. Correct. Good for you. Oh, that was Kate again. She also uses that measuring cup as a dinner bell. She just made some Philadelphia cheesesteaks and some Philadelphia roll sushi. We need to wrap up this podcast before the cheesesteaks get cold. You have been listening to the Carolina Shout podcast. I'm Ethan Uslin, your host, raconteur, and piano player. Kate Uslin is the audio engineer. She's also the measuring cup percussionist and the sushi chef. Thanks to Professor Bill Edwards of ProfessorBill.com for the biographical information on Roy Spangler. Thanks to WHYY Studios for giving me a chance to truly experience Philadelphia. Thanks also to the Liberty Bell for its mystical healing powers. And thanks, of course, to the mummers. I know you're busy today, but I wish you the best of luck in your mumming. Happy 2019, and tune in next time to hear me play more inspirational old-timey melodies.